As you can see, I've called this Everyone's a Priest now. I really wanted to start with that hot chocolate song, Everyone's a Winner, but apparently there are copyright issues. So you'll just have to imagine. And if your birth year starts with a two, you'll have to ask a parent because he probably have never heard of it. This time, Steve's asked me to speak on the subject, We Are a Royal Priesthood. Now, this is a massive topic, layered with meaning. It spans the Old and the New Testament, so I really don't think I can do it justice. Well, I don't think I can do it justice anyway, but it's certainly not in 15 minutes. But I have picked out some bits that really resonated with me, and I'm incorporating a picture that I had as I was preparing for this. So when we think of priests, we often think of this. I'm not sure who stole his face, but I was a little bit limited. When you Google royalty-free images of priests, there's not a huge selection. Or perhaps we think of this one, which is a little bit more representative of our childhood experience, or if we've been to church school. And then just occasionally, you get really random things like this. I genuinely don't know what's going on there, and I don't actually think it's legal. But I just threw it in for comedy value. I genuinely am baffled by that. But there we go. But fortunately, we're not going to be doing any of that, and that's not what today's message is about. Today's message is about two mentions of the word priest in the following verses. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And 1 Peter 2 goes on to say, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. These words are part of a letter written by Peter to Jewish Christians. Now, for the Jewish audience, this image of priesthood was radical. To understand why, we have to quickly skip into the Old Testament and look at the role of the high priest. Now, those of you who are regulars in London will recognise this phrase, and you'll roll your eyes, because there's often not a gap. The Jewish people were very aware of the huge gap between them and God. God's established finish line was set out, perfect adherence to his law. I've got a finish line banner here, courtesy of Amazon, which is denoting our finish line this morning, and it will come into play later. And the people were well aware that they were falling well short of that finish line. In the temple, this separation was denoted by a curtain, sometimes referred to as the veil. The temple curtain blocked access to the Holy of Holies, the place that really represented God's presence. No one could pass through this veil except for the high priest, and then he could only do it once a year, after much purification and preparation that most women would call faff. This great word covers a lot of things. This barrier protected a sinful people from a holy God in whose presence they simply couldn't survive. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, this one man was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies to stand before God. He would make a sacrifice for himself, and then, having purified himself, he would make a sacrifice for the people to bring reconciliation between them and God. But this was an annual process. And even this sacrifice didn't allow them to be known as priests or come anywhere near God. And that's why those words that we looked at previously in 1 Peter would have been so radical for this Jewish audience. But then this happened. The one who didn't need to purify himself first came to stand in the gap between the people and that finish line. Jesus. He was the one sacrifice, a permanent solution for our sin, bridging the gap between us and God once and for all. He filled this space with grace. It's the grace space. And we could finally and permanently cross the finish line and approach God personally. In the account of his death, we read, which something that I've always thought was the most powerful words in the Bible. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, this curtain was no Dunelm special. It didn't come from John Lewis. It was 60 feet long. It was 30 feet high. It was 4 inches thick. This was no accident. A curtain that substantial doesn't tear in two. And if you were going to take your anger out on a large curtain, ideally one you own, the top is not the place to start. This was symbolic and powerful, demonstrating that the gap between God and his people would never again need to be bridged by a human priest. Unlike Israel, where very few had held the honor of actually being able to come into God's presence and being known as priests, we are now all accorded this right. Through Jesus, all believers are priests with direct access to God, our Father. Now, we've heard about the Alpha and we've heard about salvation this morning. And obviously, this truth is at the core of our salvation. But what does it actually mean to be a priest? I figured a good place to start was looking at the meaning of the word priest. Now, a Hebrew scholar I am not, so my research is from the internationally recognized University of Google. But at least I'm honest. Hey, I have a management degree. I've not been anywhere near a theological school. So I looked at the Hebrew word for priest. And its root, and I'm probably going to mispronounce this, is in the word Kohen, which means the base of a column or a structural support. A bit like this image. I'm a very visual person, so you tend to get pictures with me rather than words. And I found this, and I think it beautifully displays the columns holding up this ornate ceiling. Priests are literally the structural supports of their community, or the church as we know our community, holding the community up. Now, one column isn't going to hold up very much on its own. So if we are all priests, then we are all responsible for holding up the structure of the church, doing our bit to raise the roof. Without all of us doing our bit, taking the load, then there is no community, there is no church. Going back to our original verses, our spiritual sacrifices are showing the goodness of God. Our actions, our prayers, our financial gifts, all of it is supporting the community that we call the church. Whether you put out the chairs, or lead worship, or teach our children and young people, if you make the coffee, if you quietly pray for people at home during the week, or you greet people as they come in, you are a supporting column, part of this amazing structure that we call the church. You're not volunteering to fill a space on a rota, but you're offering a priestly sacrifice that pleases God on a team of fellow priests, all qualified in the same way as you are, sharing the load with each other. Not out of duty or obligation, but out of service and a desire to serve the people of God and show others his goodness. And it truly is all of us. When I was preparing this, I felt that we might have some people here this morning who were ruling themselves out. Perhaps you don't feel that you know enough of the Bible to be a priest. Perhaps you don't feel you've been a Christian long enough to be a priest. Perhaps you feel that there's something about you that bothers God or that rules you out. So I just want to take a little diversion to look at this verse that you can see now. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Remember a few minutes ago I talked about this grace space, this gap between the finish line of God and the people, this grace space. This verse makes it clear that we were all short of the finish line and we all only got to the finish line because of grace. Notice this verse doesn't make any mention of how big the gap is, just that there was one. It's an absolute. God isn't interested in how far away we were. He just sees the grace. We are all just as much over that finish line as anyone else, just as much qualified to be a priest. So in summary, we've gone from no entry to welcome on board. Everyone is included. Everyone can minister. We might be less experienced, but we're just as qualified. We don't volunteer on a rota, we serve on a team of priests holding up the community together, meeting the needs of people around us alongside of a bunch of people who are just qualified like we are. Every priest can play their part. So I do a lot of public speaking in my job, and you might not think I do, but I do, honest. It's very different to speaking. At the end, there's always a call to action. I said back in August when I spoke that I'm a budget Bob Geldof. Normally, my call to action is leave us a legacy, give me your money, or give me your address book. My call to action, I've got three this morning. I think there's a rule about threes and preachers, isn't there? I picked up that much. Firstly, if you don't know that you're right with God, if you don't know that you've crossed that finish line, speak to someone this morning. Either before you leave today or if you're watching online, get in touch via the website and we'll get someone to pray with you. If you're here, we'll get someone to pray with you here. Secondly, cassocks being in short supply on Amazon Prime, I wanted to give you all something to remind you of your priestly status. So everyone will get a medal. You're a winner. A bit of enthusiasm. As a reminder that you are a winner of the grace stakes. You are a royal priest. Perhaps you can put it in your Bible as a bookmark or leave it somewhere that reminds you of your priestly status, your qualification to serve. Finally, have a think about serving. What sort of column could you be? Which bit of the church could you support with your talents, your gifts, and your time? Serving alongside our team of royal priests, building up the temple that we call church. All the serving teams are welcoming new members, and there are opportunities all over the place. Learn new skills, get to know people, show others the goodness of God as you do it. I believe the survey that we sent out recently is going to go back out in case you want to change your mind and volunteer for something else. Please think prayerfully about whether you could offer yourself as a royal priest on one of our teams. Remember, you are qualified. Thank you.